Welcome to the Indianola First Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our prayer is that this message will inspire you, encourage you, and launch you into life-changing action.
Have you ever considered the word why? It's actually an extremely powerful word. It's a word that can open the door to exploring deeper truths or take you down the path of insecurity and doubt. It's a word that, when asked, can lead you closer to God, or it can push you away from Him. When asked from a place of faith and belief, it leads to wisdom and even intimacy with God. But when it's asked out of frustration and fear, it has the potential to spiral your heart into bitterness and confusion. Every single one of us has asked this word, why, at some point in our lives. And yes, we've all asked it from a place of faith, but we've also asked it from a place of fear. God, why did this happen? Why me? Why now? Why did that happen to them? Why this diagnosis? Why this loss? Why this disappointment? And it's important to know that even if you ask why, out of fear or frustration, God can handle the question. We serve a God who's got big shoulders. He can handle your question. Amen? Amen. And when your faith wavers in Him and you struggle to believe, He never stops believing in you. He always sees all that you can be. He always has a plan, and there's always purpose. Even suffering isn't meaningless. It identifies us with Christ and refines our faith. If we will see it through the eyes of a Father who only wants the best for us. I hope you know that. God only wants the best for you. In fact, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, God wants the best for you. So Peter was writing to people who were asking some of those why questions, and they needed to be reminded that they still had purpose, and that even in their suffering, there was purpose. Even suffering isn't meaningless. It identifies us with Christ and refines our faith if we'll see it through the eyes of a Father, again, who only wants the best for us. It's human nature, I guess. Pain without purpose feels kind of pointless. It can feel unjust and even cruel. But when you inject some eternal perspective into the suffering that you are experiencing, you may just begin to realize how God can and is using it. Peter was writing to believers who were hurting. We know that. Not because they had done wrong, but because they were doing right. There seems to be this idea that if things aren't going perfect for us, that God is somehow punishing us. And that is just not true. That's not true. They were living faithfully, and they were suffering anyway. Peter started this letter with some reminders, things that mattered most for them to hear. He said, put your hope in Christ. We talked about that the first week of this series. Live holy lives because God invites you to be like Him. That's holiness. It's just an invitation to be like God. To live honorably out of an inner posture of submission to those that God has divinely placed in authority over you. That's what we talked about last week. And this morning, we will see how Peter encouraged them in their suffering by reminding them and us that God doesn't waste a single tear. He won't allow one trial in your life without giving it the potential to grow you. Every tough day is another opportunity to become stronger. And I got to share this with you. Last week, we talked about submission to authority. I went to life group last Sunday afternoon, and when I was coming back to my house from Larry and Jen Davies, I was pulled over by a police officer. I mean, I haven't been pulled over in years. I was not speeding, and it was actually not a police officer. It was a highway patrol, Sheriff Joe. So, just so you know, I had a headlight out, and he just gave me a verbal warning, and it was fine. But I had an opportunity to get kind of mad, like, why am I being pulled over? I'm not speeding. I'm not doing nothing. I just thought that was really funny last week. That was a total side note. I got to say this, too. We believe in a God who heals. He delivers. And he sets people free. Period. He does that. But the why often comes in when the freedom from suffering doesn't happen fast enough. It doesn't happen on our timetable. Or even when ultimately it's fulfilled in heaven. We don't like that. So Peter is really tackling a big subject here. He wants them to remember that God can even bring purpose to our suffering. He can give it purpose if and when it comes. So number one, suffering. Everybody say suffering. Suffering. It proves your faith. Let's bring some purpose to the suffering this morning. And this is what Peter said. It's not a popular sermon. None of these sermons are that Peter's talking about. It's not fun to talk about suffering and how there's purpose in it. But it's absolutely what Peter was talking about. It's part of the Word of God, and so we preach it. Suffering proves your faith. 1 Peter 3:13 through 3:17 says this, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." So again, we know these believers were being persecuted. Christian believers were being persecuted from the beginning of the church. They were beaten, they were lied about, they were publicly humiliated, they were even killed. They were suffering for their faith. And by the way, that has not stopped since then all the way till now. There are thousands of Christians being killed for their faith, even today. It's happening. We don't hear about it, but it's happening. Peter isn't focusing on comfort here. He points them to their calling. He doesn't say, God loves you and will keep you from suffering in this life. He doesn't say that at all. He tells them straight up. How many like it when somebody just speaks to you straight up? That's what Peter's doing here. He tells them straight up that they're blessed even when they're suffering. That they shouldn't fear the threats against them, but just keep living for Christ, revering him as the Lord of their lives. Notice that Peter doesn't give them advice on how to avoid suffering. He doesn't do that at all. Instead, he says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that's within you. And give that answer gently and respectfully. What he was actually really saying is a really big truth bomb. He said, your suffering can become the very platform that projects your message. Did you hear what I said? Your suffering can become the very platform that projects your message. And hopefully that message is the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. No one should go out looking to be persecuted. It's not what he's saying. And most people wouldn't. But if suffering should happen in the midst of your living for God out loud, so that others may see the goodness within you and be drawn into a relationship with Jesus, the suffering is worth it. Amen. That's a hard thing to say amen to, isn't it? If someone, because of your suffering and you living for Jesus in the midst of that suffering, if someone else sees that and is pulled closer to God, maybe even comes into a relationship with Jesus, guess what? Your suffering was worth it. That's hard. That's hard truth. But we see that over and over in this life. Suffering can become the very platform that projects your message. Even if the suffering leads to a level of persecution that results in death, the blood of the saints always waters the growth of the church. It does. You can't stop the church of God. The church of Jesus Christ, you cannot stop it. You can kill the believers, but it just grows all the more. I know there's been a lot of talk about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I made the statement shortly after his death that he was killed for his faith and not for his politics. They literally gnashed their teeth at him and unjustly accused him of all sorts of things. when all he did was share his faith and the politics that flowed out of that faith. Look at what's happened since. He was killed, assassinated, brutally, but what's happened since? Salvations, baptisms all over the place, a rebirth of spiritual hunger, and I think it's somewhat connected to that, if not directly connected to that. It's happening all over this nation, and we've seen it in this church, as I just shared a little bit ago. There's people coming out of the woodwork to come to church. It's awesome to see. It's a rebirth of spiritual hunger within many. And then to see Erica Kirk go through the suffering, because Charlie Kirk was here 1 minute and he was in heaven the next. But his wife was the one who suffered. She's got to go through life. And we're just over a month now since that happened. But she's got to go through life without her husband, without the father of her children. How she handled her suffering has certainly caused people to notice. Her public forgiveness of the killer, I don't know if you were watching that, but it sent shockwaves through this nation. Even Tim Allen said her example helped him forgive the man who killed his father that he wouldn't forgive. Suffering can have a purpose, and it can draw people to Christ. It's not fun to say, it's not fun to think about, but it's the truth. When life's going great, people might admire your faith. But when life falls apart and you still remain steadfast in that faith, continuing to hold on to the hope of Christ, people don't just admire your faith, they take notice of it. They see something supernatural in you that they can't explain, church. And they are drawn to the one that you serve. And don't mistake what I'm saying. If you're suffering, you don't have to act as if you're not. It's okay to admit your pain. That's fine. That's exactly why God instituted the local church. Healthy churches provide communities of encouragement and support. We all need that, right? And Peter is not discrediting your suffering here. He's validating you by saying, that's when the gospel preaches loudest. He says, suffer for doing good if that's God's will. Because even in that, you're preaching loudly without saying a word. If you're suffering for your faith, that suffering can have a purpose. And it's not to silence your faith, but to showcase it. Strong faith in the midst of suffering proves your faith. And then Peter goes on, like he said enough in point one, right? But he goes on, 1 Peter 4, 1 through 2, and we're going to talk about suffering purifies your heart. It not only proves your faith, but it purifies your heart. It says this, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Did you hear what I said? Whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human desires, but rather for the will of God. Suffering changes us. It actually purifies us. Look at what Peter says here in verse 1. Again, whoever suffers in body is done with sin. So he's talking about suffering in the flesh, be it sick in our body, aches and pains as you get older, some kind of injury. How many of you have some aches and pains as you've gotten older? These kinds of sufferings have this natural ability to purify us. And again, don't mistake what I'm saying. God doesn't cause sickness and harm. Disease, sickness, and death, it all came when sin entered the world. That's where it came from. From sin and the devil and all that. But we serve a God who gives beauty for ashes. He takes what's bad and he turns it for good. You turn it for good. We just sang that, right? But how can physical suffering purify us, you might ask? Let me ask you this. What matters most when someone is in an accident and they are fighting for their life? I'll give you one word, eternity. Eternity. When our body is suffering, our focus shifts from the temporary things of this world to the eternal things that matter. You see it as people get older, they feel aches and pains, they can't do what they used to do. And all of a sudden, their focus begins to shift to what's more important. I can't tell you over the last 30-some years in ministry, how many people got older and their prayer life increased. They had time. They couldn't do as much. They couldn't work as hard in many hours. Their prayer life increased. Their faith rose. Nobody in their right mind would say on their deathbed, oh, I wish I could have drank more. I wish I could have gotten drunk a whole lot more. Or I'm on my deathbed and I wish I had more time to gamble my money away. Or if only I had some more time to be promiscuous with my sex life. Look at more pornography. Spend more time in sin. Spend more time in adulterous affairs. Or if only I had time, more time to be bitter and really develop my anger issues. I need to have a few more fits of rage. If only I had more time to keep doing what my flesh loves and not do what my spirit is crying out for me to do. Nobody says that stuff, do they? And it's because when we are feeling this body hurt, our focus shifts. The sinful things in this world that we are involved with, they just don't matter anymore. They don't have the same foothold in our life that we once gave them. Have you ever seen a video of someone pruning a grapevine? It just seems so harsh. I mean, they take a vine that's full of life, green leaves all over the place, and they cut it back to almost nothing. But the gardener knows, if he or she doesn't cut it back, the vine will waste its strength on producing leaves instead of fruit. That's how God works in our suffering, church. It's like he prunes away the things that distract us, those things that tempt our flesh, the things that keep us attached to the temporary things in this life. It feels like loss, but actually, it's love. Because on the other side of pruning, there's always fruit. There's always fruit on the other side of pruning. 1 Peter 4, 3 through 5 says, "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans do, choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you don't join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." There's not enough time in this life, church, to spend any of it living for the feel-good, in-the-moment kind of things. There's too much at stake. Too much at stake to waste our lives on the foolish things of this world. And when suffering physically prunes our focus and sin is purged out of our life, we start living for what's eternal and what really matters. That's when suffering becomes a gift. It's an act of mercy and grace in our lives if we allow it to do its pruning work. Have you ever thought about this? Comfort in this life, it rarely grows us. Everybody just wants to be comfortable. We just want to be happy. We just want life without problems. Comfort. We want comfort. But comfort in this life rarely grows us. Yet suffering always gives us the opportunity to grow. It strips away the things that don't matter, and it purifies our focus. So when you experience physical suffering of some kind, it's not that he's trying to destroy you. He hopes that you'll let him develop you. Suffering proves your faith, and it most certainly can purify your hearts. And three, Peter goes on, suffering pulls us closer to Christ. 1 Peter 4:12 through 16 says this, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." When Peter says, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you, he's reminding us that suffering isn't a detour in the Christian life. It's part of the road. It's a good place to say amen if you can. It's just part of the road. It's not this detour. And it's no fun. If we could attain a life here that was void of all suffering, why would we ever need to go to heaven? If death didn't exist, and it does, why would we ever need to go to eternal life? Real popular message here this morning. We have to remember that suffering doesn't mean we are off course. We are just walking the same road that Jesus himself walked. Do you realize he suffered? The Son of God himself suffered. When you share in Christ's suffering, you share in his story. Every trial you face, every ounce of suffering, it pulls you into a relationship with Jesus that's more intimate, that's closer. You identify with him. Suffering pulls us closer to Christ because it puts us in touch with what he endured for us. When you hurt, when you're misunderstood, when you're betrayed, I mean, you're not alone. I am not alone. We just sang it. I can't believe the music was so fitting for this sermon. But you're being invited into a deeper relationship with a Savior who was hurt himself, and he was misunderstood himself, and he was betrayed himself. When you walk through suffering with Christ and not away from him, something begins to happen to you. You start sensing his presence in ways you never did before. The same Jesus who seemed distant in your comfort becomes deeply personal in your pain. I've shared this before, but I think it's a great example of what we were talking about this morning. When my dad was dealing with the effects of brain cancer after he had surgery, and some of you don't know, he died in 2011, the same year I became lead pastor. It was just a big year for us. And, of course, you might know that Alyssa's dad died 5 months later, both unexpected. It was just a big year. It was a tough year. Some of you had those tough years. But my dad was sick. He went in. They said he had a brain tumor. He was operated. We found that out on Sunday. He was operated on Tuesday, and he died 14 weeks later. It was just fast. Some of you have experienced even faster, but that was fast for us. And I was visiting with him and had kind of we'd kind of run out of things to talk about, you know what I mean? It was a struggle for him to talk. It was a struggle for him to, he saw like triple and quadruple a lot of times out of his eyes, so it was hard for him to even open his eyes and talk. And we had run out of things to say, and I just said, you know, Dad, this healing that the Lord has for you, it's sure taken a while. And he said something to me that I will never forget. He said, yeah, but I'm learning stuff. My dad believed in the power of God to heal. He was a giver, and he was an awesome dad and a husband. And in the midst of his suffering, he didn't get bitter. He just allowed Jesus to teach him. I can't wait to talk to him someday about what exactly he was learning. But you know, in the midst of his suffering, we were suffering as a family, and we were learning stuff too. And this is the very reason why Peter says, rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. Rejoice. That you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Not because it feels good, not because it's fun, but because it draws you into him. You begin to know Christ not just as Redeemer, but in new ways, a companion, a comforter, and an intimate friend. And that alone shows you that suffering was actually, it wasn't from God, but it became, because he gives beauty for ashes, it becomes an act of grace and mercy in your life, because through it, you got closer to Jesus. And what's better than that? Verse 19 sums it up perfectly. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and just continue to do good. Even in the middle of suffering, commit yourself again. Keep doing good. Keep showing up. Keep worshiping Him. Keep praising Him. Keep going to Him in prayer. Keep crying out to him, because every act of obedience in pain becomes an offering of praise and worship that you raise up to Jesus. It's really an offering of love. Like, God, I'm going through it, but I love you so much, I'm going to keep pressing into you.
Thanks for being a part of the Indianola First podcast. Join us next week to stay updated on our latest messages.